Hallelujah. The song says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." How many are thankful for His unending love?
Yes.
How many of you believe it's an unending love?
Hallelujah.
That's what makes it so amazing. Amen? It's not, He doesn't just love you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. Amen? He doesn't just love you when you're faithful. He loves you when you're unfaithful. How many know it's His love that brings you? The Scripture says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Hallelujah. Not necessarily the wrath of God, not hellfire and brimstone. How many know it's the goodness of God that changes people's heart? It is that unending love, that amazing grace. Hallelujah. When He loves me in spite of myself, He loves me no matter what. Amen. Hallelujah. I shared with somebody the other day and they were talking about, you know, their love being without strings a love that says, "I love you no matter what." And I said, and if we truly can say that we have a love that loves unconditionally, how much more can our Heavenly Father? Amen. The Scripture doesn't just say God loves. It says God is love. Hallelujah. And we love because He first loved us this morning. The power of love to change our lives. The power of love to change our minds. The power of His love to change our community, our nation, our world. Hallelujah. For the sake of the kingdom. I'm so thankful today for the love of God in my heart. Hallelujah. His love that knows no bounds, that knows no strings attached, that knows no restraints. Hallelujah. And I truly have to say it is His love that changes me. It is His love that restrains me. It is His love that causes repentance in my heart and in my life. Amen. Repentance simply means to change one's mind, to change one's thoughts, or to turn, to make a turn. Amen. How many know when we repent, we turn from something, but we don't just turn from something, we turn to something. We turn to God, we turn to His presence, and return to His Spirit. Amen? So it's powerful, the power of God in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Lynn ministered to us last Sunday, and I certainly enjoyed that. And he said he didn't get finished, didn't get to where he needed to be, so we'll have to get a part two on that one. Amen? So I have to hold on for part two on that, but I certainly enjoyed that. Last week. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the anointing. What it means to have the anointing or to be anointed. How many of you in here feel like you're anointed this morning? Hallelujah. And sometimes we think those are trick questions. They're really not. Hallelujah. How many know we all have an anointing? We all have an impartation. We all have a touch of God. We all have the power of God in our lives. The word anointing means to pour oil on, rub on, or to officially or formally choose someone to do or be something, to consecrate or appoint. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. To pour oil on, rub on, to officially or formally choose someone to do or to be something. How many of you have been chosen? You've been purposed. You've been chosen. You have been called. He said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You have been chosen today. Hallelujah. And it says to formally choose someone to do or be something, to consecrate or to set apart or to appoint. How many of you have been appointed in here today? Hallelujah. How many know we are anointed, we are consecrated, we are appointed, and we have been chosen? Handpicked. That word chosen means you have been handpicked. You have been consecrated, you have been set apart, and you have been ordained by the hand of God for such a time as this. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to act on what you've been chosen to do. Amen. If you don't know you've been anointed, if you don't know you've been chosen, if you don't know you've been consecrated, if you don't know you've been set apart. But how many know the power and the Spirit of God in our lives is the anointing to do what God has called us to do? How many believe you have an empowerment from the Holy Spirit that lives within you, that you have been anointed, you have been empowered, you have been touched by His presence? Hallelujah. How many know we don't have any record of Jesus doing miracles before the time when He grabs hands with John the Baptist on the Jordan River and He said, John, I have need to be baptized of you. And John said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoes. And he come preaching. He said, I am not he, but I come to bear witness of him who is mightier than I. And I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. But when he comes, he's going to baptize you what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And when Jesus grabs a hold of the hand of John the Baptist on that day on the Jordan River, how many know an old covenant and a new covenant joined together? And John proclaims, I must decrease, he must increase. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, as John the Baptist takes him who is the beloved of heaven down into the Jordan River and baptizes him, the scripture tells us that the heavens open, what? And the Spirit of God descends on him. He is anointed, appointed, consecrated, dedicated, and sent out. And the heavens declare, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. How many know when Joshua, and who was a type of Jesus in the Old Testament, when Joshua got ready to cross the Jordan River? He said, I'm going to take the ark into the river. He said, what I want you to do, Joshua, I want you to step into the Jordan with the ark. And when you do, the waters are going to roll back. You're going to have access to the promised land. And I'm going to take you across on dry ground. But how many know years and years later when Jesus steps into the Jordan, to the river Jordan as our mercy seat, as our propitiation, he steps into the Jordan River. I mean, that time the waters don't roll back, but the heavens do. And when the heavens roll back, Father pronounces from the heavens, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How many know you have the affirmation of a father today? You have the affirmation of a father today. His same declaration declares over you, this is my beloved Son. Hallelujah. And so as the heavens were opened, said the Spirit of God descended on Jesus. Hallelujah. In the form of a dove. And how many know he began his ministry, and the scripture says that everywhere he went, he was doing good. Signs and miracles followed them who believed. So he was anointed, he was consecrated, he was set apart for such a time as this. Go ahead and give me 2 Corinthians 1, 23-22, if you would, Steph. Hallelujah. How many know there are different anointings? Do you believe that? There are different anointings. Some people were anointed to sing. Some people were anointed to preach. Some people were anointed to lay hands on some people. That doesn't mean that you don't have that a measure of that same anointing. How many know there are those who could open their mouth to sing and sing, sing whatever they want to sing and sing the Barney song, and you can still feel the anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people who are anointed voices. One of those voices, I believe, and you know, you have your own opinion. How many know when Elvis Presley sang a hymn, you got goosebumps? You can say what you want to say, but when he sang, Whitney Houston. I don't know personally, and again, you have your own opinion. I don't know if there has ever been a voice as an anointed as that girl when she could sing. Amen? How many know the gifts and callings of God are without repentance? Hallelujah. There is an anointing that comes from God in our lives. And we sometimes think, oh, I'm not anointed for that, or I don't have that anointing. But how many know everybody has an anointing in their life? Everybody has a gifting. Everybody has a measure of the gifting of the presence of God in your life. There are some people who can pray, they'll just give you goosebumps. Amen. There are some people that just, you seem like they're anointed to do that. But how many know in our life we all have the gifting of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God in our lives that empowers us to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And so I want to talk a little bit about the anointing of God in our life. Hallelujah. And my thought, hallelujah, to you today is your anointing is more powerful than your current circumstances. It's more powerful than your complications. It's more powerful than your setbacks. It's more powerful than your temporary afflictions. How many know your anointing is more powerful maybe than where you even are right now? Hallelujah. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with Christ, with you in Christ, and has what? Has anointed us in God. How many of you in here today are anointed? Yes. See, I need to get more hands up than that. Let me read that again. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has what? Anointed. Who?
Us.
Is God. Thank you, Butch. You're anointed today. Now he who establishes us with Christ. What does the word Christ mean? It means the anointed one. It's not his last name. It means, we say Jesus Christ, we think that's his last name. How many know the name Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, him who was prophesied to come, him who was anointed from the foundation of the world. If we are in Christ and we are Christians, how many know we are the anointed ones also? And the scripture declares, I didn't say this. This is what the book says. Now he who establishes us with you in the anointed one and has anointed us is God. Next verse. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. How many know you have been anointed through Christ? Christ being the anointed one, we are in Christ. The scripture says, in him I live and move and have what? My being, my very existence, my very life is in him. Not just him in me, but me in him. Hallelujah. And so in Christ we have that anointing. We have that Spirit. We have that life in us that we are have an anointing that we carry. Amen. And that anointing being the presence of God in our life. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Starting in verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, or the anointed Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have what? This treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. How many know we have the power of God in this earthen vessel, in this treasure chest? I don't know if you view yourself this way today, but you are a treasure chest. You have treasures. You have giftings, not only in your own abilities, but you have the impartation, the deposit of God that lives in you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in what? Our mortal flesh. Being anointed does not mean you glow in the dark. It does not mean that you have some super aura about you. And yet I believe at times, I mean, know when some of the disciples walked along the road, the scripture says that when their shadow fell on them, how many know they were healed? You carry a presence with you. You carry an anointing. You carry a word. You carry a spirit with you, hallelujah, that shines out of darkness, out of that place, out of that treasure box in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, and we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How many know we have that impartation of God in our life? We have a treasure in this earthen vessel. We have his spirit residing and living in us. Hallelujah. Go ahead and do 1 John 2 and 20. I believe that's in the Amplified, if you have it. If not, whatever translation you got. But you have been what? Anointed. By, you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from. King James says you have an unction. This Amplified says you have been anointed from the Holy One, and you all know the truth, or you know all things. How many know the word says you have been anointed? Hallelujah. Not just him, not just certain big names that are anointed. How many know there is no little Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? You don't have to be in any special place to reach God. You don't have to say any certain prayer to reach God. You don't have to sing some special song to reach God. How many know every one of us have connection with God? That when we cry out, Abba Father, yes. Papa God, hallelujah, he responds to us. Hallelujah, he hears us when we pray. As I was thinking about the anointing, I want to go to Luke chapter 4 this morning. Your anointing is more powerful than your current circumstances. Do you believe that today? Yes. Regardless of what it looks like in the natural, how many know it does not change what you've been anointed for? And I believe sometimes we walk in less than what we've been anointed for. We allow ourselves to become displacent, or we allow ourselves to second guess ourselves, or we allow ourselves to maybe not seem to be so connected. And I believe sometimes we walk sometimes in less than what we've been anointed for. Now we know there's reminders all through the scripture, and those who have been anointed and those who have been consecrated, how many know they walked through some things? They went through some circumstances. They dealt with some things. But how many know every time that they were successful, they remembered back to a day when God laid his hand on them, when God spoke over their life, when God declared the goodness of the Lord. And then how many remember the day when God laid his hand on your life? Laid his hand on your heart. When you received him as your personal Savior, or maybe God began to speak something over your life, or maybe God began to speak something to you. And you know, sometimes I think God will give us visions, and God will give us direction, and God will give us anointing, and it seems as if the vision tarry. Anybody here ever had the vision seem like it tarry? It seems like it's not coming to pass like I thought it would come to pass. Yeah. I mean, Joseph had a dream. And he dreamed of greatness. But the one thing that Joseph did wrong is he shared his dream with dream crushers. He shared them with his beloved brothers. He shared them with them who were of his own household. And you know, sometimes, unfortunately, those voices we give more power to than the voice of what God says is true of us. Amen? If God prophesied over Joseph's life, it doesn't matter what your younger brother thinks. It doesn't matter what your older brother thinks. If God said it, he will do it, and we can take it to the bank and believe him at his word and take him at his word. How many know when Joseph goes through all the process, he's sold in the pit, he's in Potiphar's house, he's misunderstood, he's misrepresented, he's falsely accused, he ends up in the prison house. He gets in the prison house, while he's in the prison house, people still put a demand on the life of Joseph. Amen? How many know sometimes even in your despair, people still put a demand on your life? There's still need out there, and you have the ability to reach it. And while he's sitting in the prison house, I'm wondering if Joseph sits there and says, this does not look at all like the dream that I dreamed. It does not look like my visions, and it does not look like it's coming to pass like God said. But how many know his anointing was more powerful than his circumstances? Hallelujah. And when he interprets the dreams and they go before Pharaoh, and he says, now don't forget me. When you get there, don't forget me. Present me to the king. And how many know once they get out of the prison house, what do? They forget all about Joseph. To all of a sudden, Pharaoh's looking for somebody that he can interpret dreams. He says, oh, wait a minute. I know somebody. Hallelujah. And so he interprets the dreams for Pharaoh, and all of a sudden things start to come to pass and things start to fall into place. And Joseph is elevated to a place of authority, and he's elevated to a place of position, and he's got money and he's got position and he's got family and he's got everything. But how many know he still does not have the fulfillment of his dream? He still does not have everything that God promised to him. And somewhere in his heart, Joseph's probably still saying, but where is the fulfillment of what you promised me, Lord? But how many know there would come a day when his brothers would come back to him and they would bow down in front of him? And the scripture says, and Joseph turned aside from them and wept and cried. How many know I don't think he's crying because his long lost family's back? I don't think he's crying because he's getting their just dues. They sold him out. Now they got to bow down to him. I don't think that's why he's crying. I think Joseph turns aside and says, that was the dream that I dreamed. And today God has fulfilled everything that he promised to me. Today my dream has come to pass. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you got to remember that your dream and your anointing and your vision is more important than your circumstance. It's more powerful than your circumstances or where you are. If you've been anointed, don't let anything stand in the way of God's perfect will in your life, or God's provision in your life, or God's destiny in your life. Hallelujah. How many know there are a lot of things that can challenge that along the way? There are a lot of things that can challenge who you are. Hallelujah. How many know, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but in 1 Samuel chapter 16, David is called in. And I've been working on David a little bit here lately. And maybe that's what's got me thinking about this. But how many know David is the least likely candidate in his house to be anointed king? But the word of the Lord to the prophet Samuel, and the scripture says of the prophet Samuel, not a word of his fell to the ground. He said, Samuel, go to the house of Jesse and anoint the next king. And so Samuel goes down to the house of Jesse, and as every dad would do, he lines his boys up from tallest to shortest, strongest to weakest. However, he brings them all before Samuel. But how many know the anointing does not fall on any of them to be the next king? Samuel is praying over them, and he said, Jesse, I don't see him. And I don't think I miss God. Do you have any more sons? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it's easy to vary from the prophetic word when you think it's not lining up to the present circumstances? But Samuel said, I'm not sitting down to eat until I do what God sent me to do. And he sent me to anoint a king in this house, and I don't see him. Do you have any more sons? And he said, well, I do, but he's the little guy out keeping the sheep. Do you mean David? He said, go and get him, because we're not sitting down until I anoint a king in this house. And when he goes and gets the servant David and he brings him in, how many know the anointing oil was poured on the head of David from a ram's horn? And he said, this is the one that God sent me to anoint. Hallelujah. This is the one God sent me to anoint. To what? To be the next king over all Israel. But what I love about the story of David is he does not go immediately and get his crown and get his robe and get his throne and get his scepter and get his men and get his army. How many know Dad says, David, the sheep are waiting on you. How many know you can be anointed way ahead of what God totally bringing it to pass and completion in your life? See, I believe that God laid his hand on me at a very early age. Anybody else in here had the touch of God at a very early age in your life, and you knew that God had touched you for something. Hallelujah. But it wasn't immediately that he walked in that position. How many know there were some circumstances that came into the life of David that challenged that anointing? How many know Goliath challenged the anointing of David? See, David walked up and he heard the challenge of Goliath and he said, who's going to fight him? And they said, we don't know. We're not fighting him. He said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Somebody going to have to fight this giant. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he could say, well, it ain't me, because guess what, guys? I'm the next king of Israel. But before there will ever be an Israel, somebody's going to have to stand up against some giants. Hallelujah. But how many know David relied on not his own physical strength, not his own ability, but the anointing that came on him when he killed the lion and when he killed the bear. And he said, and I'll do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine. And when Saul wanted to make him a carbon copy of himself and put his armor on him and give him his sword and all and equip him to look like Saul, he said, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. I'm going to have to be what God anointed me. How many know 5 smooth stones in the purpose and plan of God will be all you need? See, sometimes we think if we don't have all the resources at our hand, we can't do it. But how many know he only needed what he had? God had already empowered David to do what he needed to do. How many know there was a lot of circumstances in David's life when it looked like it was contrary to the anointing and the prophetic word that Samuel prophesied over him? When goes to Nob and gets the sword, and Saul is in pursuit of him, and it looks as if he would take his life. How many know it did not change the anointing, and it did not change the prophetic word? When he's in the cave of Adullam with 400 men who are in a bad mood and discontented and discouraged and in despair. How many know it did not change the anointing and it did not change the prophetic word over David's life? When he went in to pursue and the place of the breakthrough, he said, you're going to hear a rustling in the trees and in the mulberry trees. Go in and pursue, because God has given you victory over that. How many know there was a lot of things that David walked through that looked as if it would have been contrary to the anointing or the purpose of God in his life? How many know his anointing was way stronger than his circumstances? Hallelujah. You may have some temporary circumstances today in your life that may seem like they challenge your purpose. It may seem like it challenges your destiny. It may seem like you're on the backside of the desert somewhere and nothing's happening. How many know Moses went through a period where he was on the backside of a desert? And it seemed as if he was by himself. How many know God has GPS? He knows your address. He knows where you are. And it seemed as if he had escaped from everything and had went into the wilderness and was in a position where he was just okay to hang out in his father-in-law Jethro's land. But how many know he was anointed for more than that? He was purposed for more than that. Hallelujah. God has a way of finding you where you are and say, you weren't meant to stay here. You might have been meant to pass through here, but you're not meant to stay here. And you know, I believe we need to look at some of our circumstances today and say, I may have been meant to pass through here, but I was not meant to stay here. I was not meant to take up residency. This is a temporary placement. for what God has in my life or purpose in my life. Hallelujah. And so he takes him from that place and God begins to take him back into Egypt and he delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Because he was anointed to be a deliverer. He was anointed to be a leader. Hallelujah. And so David is anointed in a lot of different ways. He's anointed actually three times. That he is anointed in a couple different times. And you know, I wonder if that's just not a reminder to him to say, don't forget what you've been purposed for. Don't forget what you've been called for. Don't forget what God placed, the abilities he placed in you. You know, sometimes we can have talents and abilities and things in our life and we sit on them or they lie dormant in us sometime because we think, well, they're not important or they're not necessary or I'm not sure where they fit in. But how many know you got to stir up those things? And sometimes as we pour out and we begin to flow in the position or begin to flow in that gifting that God has given us, he brings increase into that gifting and begins to magnify it and multiply it. Amen? Hallelujah. To make it of greater use for the kingdom. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 4, we'll go there this morning. Hallelujah. How many of you in here today are anointed? You're getting better. You're getting better. Hallelujah. We're all anointed.
For you. You are not finished yet. And I felt like the Lord said, don't forget. Don't forget the words that I'm giving you. And I felt like, you know, that this is not the destiny that God chose for me. Because I feel like there is still things. I don't feel like God's life accomplished everything yet that God has said and spoken into my life, and I can't accept the fact that a wheelchair is my destiny. I can't accept that. I've got to remember and not settle, but I've got to remember.
Amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't believe we need to die until we're empty. I don't believe we need to die, but we definitely don't need to die full. You need to die empty. That means you've poured out everything that's within you. Now, we know in this house there are giftings. There are prophetic giftings. There are giftings of healing. There's giftings of prayer. There's giftings of laying on of hands. There's giftings in music. There's giftings in speaking. There's giftings in a ministry of helps. There are giftings in words of knowledge, all of those kind of things. And how many know the giftings are subject to the vessel? Amen? The giftings are subject to the vessel. And as we begin to, you know, maybe sometimes we need to declare, say, God, as we're coming to the house this morning, pour me out. Don't just pour into me, but pour me out. I mean, you know, sometimes we got to reverse our mindset of coming to church, and it's not just to come to do our duty. It's not just to come and get filled up so we can make it through another week. How many know we can come into the house filled up and pour out while we're here and anoint and minister? How many know every time we come together, there's healings. Every time we come together, there's words of knowledge. Every time we come together, there's a song of the Lord. Every time we come together, there's a word. It may be a scripture. It may be God begin to speak a scripture in your heart, and you say, this must be for this house and for this time and for this season. How many know sometimes God will speak to me at odd places and odd times, but I'm like, that's okay, Lord, as long as you're speaking, you just go ahead and speak. And there's been some times where he's spoken so clearly to me that I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is for more than just me. Anybody ever been there? This is for more than just me. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I've been seeking a word myself, or I've been seeking something for myself, and God begins to speak to me, it may be something that I will over and over and over again find somebody who needs that same word, that same reinforcement, that same touch. Hallelujah. That I'll say, this is what God said to me. Hallelujah. This is what I'm hearing from the heavens. This is what I'm hearing God say. Hallelujah. I mean, our giftings can be so multi-talented. Don't be comparing it to the person sitting beside you today. Your gifting may be totally different than somebody else's. But how many know that's what the blending of the art of the apothecary is? That when they begin to blend the spices together, how many know you bring your spice to this house? You bring your aroma. You bring your scent. You bring your flavor into this house. Hallelujah.
Discern the Lord's body. And what you're saying this morning is that every one of us is anointed to do something. But when we sit on that, when we don't listen to that, I was teasing Eileen a while ago, and she said, you know, she said Friday she just felt like she was anointing my body. And I said, then obey God and come do that.
Amen.
You know, it may be just something that simple.
That's right.
Yes.
And I received that. I received that from her this morning.
Amen.
If in her spirit she did that, then I received that this morning. And I think a lot of times the reason we do suffer and are sick is because we do not discern that this is the Lord's body.
Yes.
Not just Jesus. This is the Lord's body. And when we receive from one another, we are discerning the Lord's body. Yes, you might have the gift of intercession. You may have the gift of healing. You may have, you know, knowledge. You may have something that I need today. And if I, you know, and if you obey God and do that, then I've discerned the Lord's body and I've received from that portion of the Lord's body. And I think that that scripture just really jumped out at me last week. And I think, you know, and as I said, I received that from Eileen this morning. And I feel like she did that in her spirit. She obeyed God. And I think, you know, a lot of times if we would just do the simple thing, it makes us feel foolish sometimes, or we think, well, that's just me, or that's my imagination. But maybe it's really not that. Maybe it really is Jesus saying, if you go do that, she'll feel better today. Or if you go speak that word, that's what that person needs today. And I think that discerning the Lord's body is becoming more and more and more important to us, because unless we can see that, we're not going to see the miracles and the healings and the things that God has for us, because it's all locked up in the body. We have to unlock it, let it go.
Sometimes we think we're insignificant, or we don't, you know, somebody will see that need or whatever, but how may know most of the time if the Lord's revealing it to you, you're the one he wants to use to do it. Right, washing the pool with Siloam, or do something foolish.
Mud on my eyes to make me see. I mean, think about it. It was foolish things, but it's foolish things that have been on
fire. Amen. How many know that the whole book of Judges is all about God taking ordinary people to do extraordinary things? Any ordinary people in here today? I love the scripture when the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and he's hiding wheat under the wine press. He's trying to just survive. He's trying to feed his family. He's trying to be a good steward of, he's trying to keep it from the enemy. And what the angel comes to him and says, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." And Gideon says, "Who, me?" And then he says something I think is very profound. He said, "If the Lord is with us, then where be all his miracles?" And you know what? You know where the miracles were? They're locked up inside of you, Gideon. You see the need. You've been anointed. You've been chosen. He said, and I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the least likely candidate to give deliverance. Hallelujah. How many know God takes him through a whole lot of circumstances? He starts out with tens of thousands of people. God whittles him down to 300 people. And you know, we look at congregations sometimes and say, well, what would we do with 20? What would we do with 50? What would we do with 100? Well, what could you do? How many know the 12 disciples turned the world upside down?
Amen.
Amen. We limit ourselves by numbers. We limit ourselves by resources sometimes. And he said, hail thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you. How many know how God sees you most times is way different than how you see yourself? Do we have any mighty men of valor in the house today? We have somebody that says, I might just have something in me that God can use. I just might have something in me that I could go against the enemy. But it wasn't through the strength of Gideon. And God proved that through Gideon. He said, I'm going to send you in. I'm going to make you victorious. I'm going to give you victory over the Midianites. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you a lamp, a pitcher, and a trumpet. Well, we were doing good, God, until you start talking about the equipment part. Because how many know that is our biggest excuse? I don't know that I have it in me. I compare my anointing to somebody else's anointing. I compare my ability to somebody else's ability. Like, you had me there, God, till you started talking about torches and pitchers and trumpets. No Scud missiles, no Uzis, bow and arrow. You know, something. Give me something. But how many know God said, it's not going to be about you, Gideon. And the moment you think it's about you or your strength or your ability, you will not be victorious. But if you just step out and trust God and say, go ahead, God, do the miraculous through me today. Go ahead, God, touch somebody today in such a way I'll know it had nothing to do with me, but it had everything to do with you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God takes ordinary things to do the extraordinary. He uses ordinary people to do the extraordinary. He takes people who don't know they're a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. He takes people that don't know they're mighty women of God. When Barak gets ready to go out to battle, he says, I'll go, but the only way I'm going to go is if Deborah rides in my chariot. Hallelujah. I mean, no, Deborah didn't have to fight, but her presence carried authority. Her presence spoke of victory. Hallelujah. Something about her being in the right chariot at the right time with the right person. Somebody who's of like mind like you. How many know sometimes you need to climb in somebody else's chariot and say, I don't know if I can do this by myself, but together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But together, God can do the miraculous in and through us. And then they spoke and said, Barak, you're going to have victory today, but it's not going to be through your hand. It's going to be through the hand of a woman. And how many of you know Jael was the one who captured the enemy and drove a 10 spike through his hand, his head? That's my kind of woman. Hallelujah. Not in her own strength, but when God spoke, she responded. How many know it's really a lot of times is as simple as that. When God speaks, respond. Just respond. And you say, well, I don't know God's voice. I don't know if he's speaking. I'm always questioning, God, is this you? Is this you? Is this you? Well, if it brings honor and edification and is uplifting to somebody, you say, well, what if God doesn't do it? Well, what if he does? What if he does? See, if you're obedient, it's up to God to bring the deliverance, the healing, the salvation. And it may not come in the view of your own eyes, but that doesn't mean it won't come. That doesn't mean it hasn't come. Amen? Hallelujah. But as we respond, but I love the scripture in Luke chapter 4, and I'll close with this one. When Jesus gets ready to begin his ministry, he goes into the temple, and they hand him the book of Isaiah. In verse 17 of Luke 4. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country, among your people. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent unto save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. How many know Jesus is amongst them in the synagogue? And he begins to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those, to set the captives free, to heal those who are bruised and broken. How many know you'd think revival would break out all over the place? But their response was, is this not Joseph's son? And I submit to you this morning that we probably miss more miracles than we know, because our response sometimes is, well, is this not just an ordinary, average person? What could they possibly have for me? And how many know, we look at this, and the irony of this is, we know from here on out the miraculous miracles that Jesus does. He puts mud on the eyes of the blind man. He sends those from the pool to wash in the pool of Siloam. 10 lepers are healed. He causes the woman whose back is bent over to stand up straight. He causes the woman who has an issue of blood to touch the hem of his garment, and he's made whole. He feeds the multitude. He calms the storms. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He casts out devils. But how many know they missed their day? That day of visitation. Because they said, isn't that just Joseph, the carpenter's son? I submit to you this morning that there are miracles in every vessel in this house. There are blessings. There are words of life. There is comfort. There is strength. There is empowerment. There is financial blessings. Amen? Locked up in vessels all over this house today. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this morning, you are a mighty man of valor. You have great potential. You have great giftings. You have inside of you a treasure. The scripture said we have a treasure where? In this earthen vessel, this mortal body. Not anything that I can do, but the Spirit of God within us. How many know still has the power? Jesus said to his disciples, what? Greater things than these, what shall you do? I don't think he's ever changed his mind about that. Amen. Greater things. Hallelujah. And so never underestimate the power of the person beside you to change your life, to bring just what you need at the moment of time. When God puts somebody on your heart during the day, he wants you to intercede for them. He wants you to pray for them. He wants you to minister to them. He wants you to touch them in some way. Hallelujah. Who knows? But that God doesn't want to do the miraculous today in and through you. Never underestimate yourself or think yourself less than any other vessel in this house. I told you the other week or so ago, I was praying over the healing line up here. We had a powerful anointing of the presence of God in the house. And I'm praying over people. And the whole time I'm praying, my head is pounding. God's touching people right down the road. I've got a headache. And these boys walked over and laid hands on me and prayed for me, and God healed my headache.
Hallelujah.
And I have not had trouble with it since then. Hallelujah. I do not underestimate the power of any vessel in this house. Lynn told you the other week, a 12-year-old boy came over and laid hands on him in a church service, and God healed him. You know, sometimes we think the man of God doesn't need healing or doesn't need a touch or doesn't need strength. But how many know sometimes it takes a child that says, I'm just going to go and lay hands on the man of God. Amen? And God does the miraculous. You have this treasure in you today. The anointing of God in you is powerful. You are a force to be reckoned with. You are a mighty man of valor. You are the next king of Israel. Hallelujah. You have the ability to lead this people into the promised land as Joshua did. Hallelujah. Your anointing is more powerful than your current circumstances. God has not changed his mind about you. You have destiny and purpose. Amen.
And that's where he wants to begin. And his children, the sons of God. And we are the sons of God.
Yes.
And he's waiting for manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. He's waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hallelujah. It's in you. It's in you. Amen. Never underestimate the power of God that's in you to move. Hallelujah. Your anointing is... What if it does? Amen. 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 And you know, in the midst of a service and things like that, if you question, is it edifying? Does it? The Holy Ghost will never embarrass you. It won't call you out. It won't point you out. It won't reveal you in front of a group of people. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Amen. The giftings are for edification. And for building up of the body of Christ. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And so when we minister in a way that it is uplifting, it's in order, and it brings edification to that body or to that person. Hallelujah. God doesn't send you to point out all their flaws, all their afflictions. He sends you out to uplift them, to edify them, to build them up. And show, we told you, the love of God is more powerful. It's the love of God that leads men to repentance. Amen? Hallelujah. Your anointing is more powerful than your circumstances. Hallelujah. Beth, come and play for us this morning. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. As she sings this morning, I just want you to yield yourself to his presence and to the Holy Ghost this morning and say, Lord, stir up those giftings in my life. Stir up those anointings in my life. Hallelujah. Cause there to be a stirring deep within me. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.
The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for a kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no, everything she said above. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did. My alabaster box. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't angry if I wash his feet with my tears.